A flaw was found in LibG Crypt, the notorious Emotet is sinkholed by police, and Apple makes a slew of security updates. All that coming up now on ThreatWire. Greetings! I am Shannon Morris, and this is ThreatWire for February 2nd, 2021. This is your summary of the threats to our security, privacy, and internet freedom. There is a limited time offer happening on my Patreon page right now to celebrate a couple of new perk levels that I have just published. Check out all of the new perks and the content over on patreon.com/threatwire. And now, onto the news. If you have never heard of libgcrypt, it's a library that is in a lot of Linux distros like Fedora, for example. libgcrypt is built into GNUPG, and it's an open source cryptographic toolkit, so you can use it to encrypt and to sign communications. Its alternatives are OpenSSL or LibreSSL. Security researcher Tavis Ormandy of Google's Project Zero found a vulnerability in GNU Privacy Guard's libgcrypt that could allow an attacker to write arbitrary code or do remote code execution attacks. Ormandy found the issue on January 28th, and it affects version 1.9.0. Now, you may look at that date and think that was just a few days ago, so why is he publicizing it? Well, GNUPG addressed the problem within a day, with a new version being available for download already. It occurred in the dev phase of the flawed version, which was changed to reduce overhead on generic hash write functions. This caused a heap buffer overflow issue to the point that, according to Ormandy, just decrypting data could overflow the heap buffer. Now, an attacker could send malicious code to make libgcrypt process a decryption. Researchers consider this flaw to be very severe, so updating ASAP is crucial, as it is easy to exploit the flaw. Now, I just did a huge update to the ThreatWire Patreon page. If you haven't checked it out yet, there are a couple of new perk levels and some new perks in addition to that. Some brand new perks for existing members, and a special offer for a discounted annual membership at all of the levels. Also, I wanted to shout out to Thomas K., David M., Adam S., William K., Kevin K., and Cole to Arca Here's C for joining or upgrading on the ThreatWire Alliance, and as always, thank you so much for supporting the show. Law enforcement agencies in the US and Europe have taken over control of the infrastructure used by Emotet botnet attackers. The Emotet botnet has been used to steal millions in extortion attacks alongside stealing data. Attackers have used Emotet for years to distribute phishing campaigns alongside Ryuk ransomware and banking trojans. So according to law enforcement, 100,000 to half a million Emotet phishing emails are sent per day, so it's been called the world's most dangerous malware. It took the operation 2 years to map out the infrastructure of machines and servers used within Emotet, which in turn helped agencies take control of 700 servers across multiple countries. Machines that were infected have now been redirected towards law enforcement-controlled infrastructure, according to Europol. The takedown will help eliminate the botnet from more than 1 million active machines worldwide. Since law enforcement now has control over much of the Emotet infrastructure, they plan to push an Emotet update to infected machines, which will remove the malware from them in an effort that will span the next several months. This update will automatically uninstall the malware on April 25th. The FBI worked alongside Europol to take down Emotet, and Ukrainian police released a video in connection with the botnet, showing confiscation of a bunch of hard drives from this random apartment. It's currently unknown how many people have actually been arrested or charged in relation to the takedown, but reports are showing that two persons of interest have been taken into custody. Dutch national police mentioned in a statement that two primary servers were located in the Netherlands, and German law enforcement seized 17 servers used as controllers in Germany. Several hundred servers were located all around the world and were used by attackers to manage the infected machines, spread the new machines, and keep their network resilient from takedown attempts like this one. Europol called this takedown a new and unique approach. But even with that said, it's hard to say how long Emotet would stay inoperable, since it's possible that attackers could have backed up their data so that they could resume operations after the sting. Since Emotet was used to install other malware, it was also sold to crime groups for operation. This means that if a group had already purchased access to an infected computer to install something like ransomware, for example, then even if Emotet was uninstalled, that machine could still be at risk. Dutch National Police released a tool that you can use to see if your own email address shows up anywhere in a database of 600,000 compromised accounts that were found during operation, and this investigation is currently ongoing. Since Emotet mostly spread through email phishing, law enforcement also recommends being skeptical of any messages that seem to be too good to be true, and avoiding opening messages or attachments from unknown senders. I realize that there is a glare in my glasses from my lights, and there is literally nowhere else that I can put my two softboxes in this bedroom. So please bear with me. No need to comment about the glare. I'm very aware of the problem, but that won't be a problem in the near future because I am investing in building out a huge studio in my basement. So that is happening this year. And I did want to thank who is a part of that. A big shout out to my Hush Puppy perk level patrons for sharing their fur baby photos and for the support and for making things like that possible. So thank you so much to my patrons, my Threatwire Alliance. Also, for the last story, Apple just released a new iOS update, and with that comes a new slew of some recently found vulnerabilities and some security patches. Google Project Zero was checking out the new iOS 14 update, and they found something called Blast Door, which is a newly improved sandbox system for iMessage that protects against a recently found flaw that could allow an attacker to leverage 0 days found in the messaging app. Blast Door, written in the Swift programming language, parses untrusted data within iMessages. Now, this seems to be in response to a flaw in version 13.5.1 that could allow an attacker to bypass security protections in place. Whenever a new iMessage is received, it is passed through a whole slew of different processes until it gets to the user. Blast Door inspects the message within a sandbox, and it can keep any malicious code from interacting with the operating system. Now, alongside Blast Door, iOS 14 also patched 3 different 0 days that Apple says may have been exploited in the wild. That includes CVE 2021-1782, 1870, and 1871, each of which could give an attacker escalation of privileges or a remote code execution. Now, these were a race condition, which causes privilege escalation, and 2 logic issues, which allow for the code execution inside of Safari. Apple's new patch does not detail anything about the active exploits, so we don't know who has been exploiting these vulnerabilities in the wild, nor how they came to that conclusion. But a patch is available, so download it and install it ASAP. Lastly, Apple will be introducing a new privacy feature, which is called App Tracking Transparency in iOS 14, which will require developers of apps to prompt a user asking them for permission to track their usage for ad targeting. The feature will go live for users sometime in the spring, however, we do not have a set date. So this will be an opt-in requirement for tracking, instead of making users opt out in the settings each time they want to disable any kind of tracking. This means that your unique identifier for advertisers, which is linked to the physical device, would only be collected by an app and shared across apps if you allowed the first app to do so. Other identifiers used for advertisements that you give willingly to an app, like your location or your username or email, all of that can still be used for personalized adverts. So of course, Facebook hates this. They responded on the first by rolling out a prompt on their iPhone and iPad apps that tries to convince users to opt into ad tracking so their experience is more personalized and they will be helping small businesses that rely on adverts. But of note is the slightly different wording that Facebook uses. Facebook's prompt asks to use your apps and website activity, but Apple's prompt will say, track you across apps and websites owned by other companies. Very different, but they have the exact same meaning. Now, Google, on the other hand, has stated in their own blog post that they will no longer use information such as the IDFA once the new tracking policy is in place for ad purposes. So as such, their iOS apps won't even show a prompt, which will be in line with Apple's new policy. As soon as the new policy is rolled out, you will likely start seeing prompts for all of your apps. While this news has been known to developers since around fall of last year, so they all knew it was coming, very few have actually implemented an update to comply with Apple's new changes. Do you want to see more videos from me about security, policy, tech, reviews, unboxings? Check out my YouTube channel. It's youtube.com/ShannonMorse, just like my name, for all of that. Everything and more. And with that, do not forget to like and subscribe. I'm Shannon Morse, and I will see you on the internet.